The dilemma Sarah wrestled with is is a very old one, as old as Buddhism, if not older. The tradition that Frank Ostasevsky is drawing on most in his career and in this book about the five invitations that he suggests from his work founding the Zen Hospice Project is Buddhism. And Buddhism is often understood, or perhaps I prefer to think misunderstood, as saying everything is equal, welcome everything, change nothing. It's why I suppose I'm a particular fan of his thinking, engaged Buddhism. Not surprising that he would talk also about how to engage in the world and change it, even in the midst of this Buddhist equanimity, the tradition, a generation of monks responding to the Vietnam War in Vietnam. And of course, we see things all around us that cry out to be changed, that cry out not to be accepted. So it's helpful to hear Ostasevsky's reflection on what he means by this second invitation, welcome everything, push away nothing, and that he means welcome in the sense that in this country, when somebody thanks us, we say, you're welcome. We have an attitude of invitation. But when it comes to the things that come in and out of our lives, that doesn't mean that, as he says, we let life just walk all over us, but that we are open and receptive enough to have options. Something happens to cut down those options if our energy is to push things away. I think one of the main ways that we do that is we ignore things. We ignore our own feelings, we ignore the voice inside, we ignore people and experiences beyond us that make us worry, that make us have unpleasant memories, that make us uncomfortable. And simply ignoring them and turning our thoughts to pleasanter experiences is one of the chief ways that we push away what we don't want to think about, what we don't want to feel. Welcoming everything is an antidote to that. And another way that we do it is distraction. We are perhaps living in the most distraction-laden era of any people since people have come along. There's always something else, something you can read, something you can tune in, someone you can talk to, far away or near. There's always noise. There's always something else flickering on a screen. So easy to distract ourselves from whatever is in our minds that's making us uncomfortable. But the law of human nature that I feel he is addressing with this invitation is that pushing things away doesn't work. It really doesn't work. As Ostasevsky says elsewhere, I cannot be free if I am rejecting any part of my experience. The rejected experience will keep showing up like a bad penny. It will come back again and again, finding new ways to express itself. Until I know it and see through it, it always will be the bane of my existence. It always will be a cause of my suffering. We must let go of our opposition to the experiences we are trying to avoid, whatever they may be, thoughts, feelings, and events included. We may push things down, we may push them away, we may distract ourselves and cover things up. So it's not that he's saying, oh, terrible things are you know, things we should welcome into our lives, but here they are. They come along anyway, and we're not going to escape them just by pushing them away. It also seems to be a law of human nature that we can't shut out some feelings without shutting out others. We just can't. We try to close ourselves off to sorrow and anger, and when we do, we diminish our capacity to feel joy and wonder. And if you doubt this, run an experiment for a while and tell me what you discover. Because my discovery has been that when I deal with difficult memories or feelings that I've been pushing down, that I haven't wanted to think about, when I bring them up and with the help of a friend, of a spiritual guide, with time and care, I bring them into my life, things around me change. It's like everything gets a little sweeter. The joys get stronger. My sense of happiness and discovery increases. Maybe this is why the poet Naomi Shihab Nye writes, "Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak to it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth." Again, this is not a Puritan attitude of don't be too happy, allow sorrow into your life, but a recognition sorrow is here. It comes along. We have troubles, we have worries, we have bad news in our own lives and in the world. And if we are to know kindness and happiness, we must know that sorrow for what it really is. Most important, I think that this dynamic of seeking to welcome whatever comes across our thresholds and push away nothing, it has a powerful interaction with what we value most in our existence, which is love. Frank Ostasevsky says that it is love that makes it possible to welcome everything. Love, he says, is what helps us to accept ourselves, our lives, and other people as is. And of course, that's true. That's love in action, especially when, as in the example of the kids in the marching band, we're talking about, do we welcome other people? It also works the other way around. Welcoming everything, pushing away nothing, we can love more. Again, try it. Run an experiment and see what you discover. We can love better, more fiercely, more fully, when we aren't applying that damper to all of our experience, that shutting out of the bad that also shuts out the intensity of the good. Every time we close ourselves off to a part of experience, whatever it may be, we diminish our capacity to feel, know, to grow, to love. And every time we open ourselves up to a part of experience, including the parts that we wish we weren't even having, we expand our capacity to feel, to know, to grow, and to love. But it's something that we have to do. The hymn that we're going to sing in a few minutes, "Love Knocks and Waits for Us to Hear," of course, it's alluding to Christian scripture there, but it's using exactly that image that Ostasevsky brings into us from Buddhism. Love knocks and waits for us to hear, to open and invite. It's out there, it's waiting. It won't come barging in, it waits for us to open and invite it in. Love comes to heal the broken heart, to ease the troubled mind. Without a word, love bids us start to ask and seek and find. Love knocks and enters at the sound of welcome from within. We can invite it in, and we invite love in when we invite all experience. We have to invite everything that we want to allow inside because we're very, very good, we human beings, at keeping it shut out. Oh, it'll sneak under the door and into our subconscious, but we can keep things pressed down our entire lives, where they will work their way in our lives, making us take long ways around things that we just don't know how to confront or deal with. They'll never totally go away. But if we want to, we can spend decades, we can spend the rest of our lives not really inviting awareness. So in the spirit, Ostasevsky talks about, let's welcome it all. Not because it's all good, but because it's all real. And it will wait for us. We can shut it out, or we can welcome it in. If we shut out the wounds of the world, we will also, to a large extent, be shutting out love. Our capacity to be loved and our capacity to love whatever and whoever comes our way. So maybe our most painful experiences are also love knocking and waiting for us to hear. So a prayer. May we have the courage to answer the knock at the door. May we have the faith to know that we can endure whatever we embrace. May our faith send down strong roots so that we know we don't endure it alone. And may the divine spark within us welcome everything that comes our way as fuel for that fire, for everything. Everything is holy.